It is a privilege and a pleasure to be here these days. To meet in the assembly of the Lord's people, to worship, to talk one with another concerning the welfare of our souls, to exchange our hopes, perhaps our fears, but the things that we hold most dear unto us, promise of eternal salvation in the life to come. I've enjoyed the stay down here for over a week now, more last week than this week, because 3 or 4 days last week in the morning, the outside containers in the yards contained lovely, refreshing ice and frost. And those of you who know where I live, it's in a more northern part of the country than here. And the heat doesn't agree with me very much. About 2 weeks ago, one of the young ministers from this area here was up to a local group we have in West Central Iowa, and he gave a message to us. I wasn't privileged to be there because of illness, but I heard about it. And the people are still talking about it. And the theme of the message was that man is that he might have joy. And of course, man in the scriptures mean men, women, and children, all of the human creation. And the suggestion was that if we didn't really feel that our hearts were full of joy in the gospel, we should stop and take inventory and measure our spiritual stature that we might come to know wherein we might be deficient and to strive for that hope that was promised and meant for each one of us, you and me and our neighbors. And I believe this evening, if we will listen carefully, we will find in hearing that there will be brought to us those things that are of the hope of God that he has given for his people, if we will but embrace them. There are the words to an old hymn that have stayed in my mind these last 2 weeks since the sermon that was reported to me. The words were composed by Isaac Watts, the poet and the composer, born in the 1600s, mind you, long before the Latter-day Restoration. He was caused in that early time to say, "Blessed are the souls that hear and know the gospel's joyful sound. Peace shall attend the path they go, and light their steps surround. Their joy shall bear their spirits up through their Redeemer's name. His righteousness exalt their hope, nor Satan dare condemn. The Lord, our glory and defense, strength and salvation gives. Israel, thy King forever reigns, thy God forever lives." It is my privilege and pleasure this night to introduce the speaker of the hour, whom I have known since before he was married. And I knew his dear wife when she was just a toddler. In case you wonder, my father was not Father Time, but I remember those years very vividly yet. I remember Brother Fan, before he came into the church. I remember him when he was married. Later, when he was baptized. Still later, when he was ordained to the holy priesthood. And I watched him grow. And it's a marvelous thing to watch a man grow in his ministry. And each one who enters into the ministry must grow, because as it is said in the Holy Scriptures, that when we first come through the waters of baptism, we are as babes in Christ. And you know, when a man is first ordained, he is a babe in his ministry. Amen. He must grow from that point on. And if he continues to grow, he will increase in knowledge, understanding, wisdom, conviction, and persuasion to others. And these are the blessings of growth that we find in all elements of life, if we will but reach out and strive for that which is within our grasp. It gives me great pleasure this evening to introduce as a speaker of the hour, Elder Frank Fan.
Thank you, Brother Jensen. We've just went through a very moving service, the setting apart of our brother. And even more moving as we go through the line and give him a hug and a handshake. And I'm never able to say anything when I get up there. I'm a tough old guy, but boy, I cry easy. And so all I can do is shake his hand and give him a hug. But I think he knows. But I know that our brother is going to do a great job in the apostleship. And the reason I know that is as we's going through the line, my wife said to him, "If you don't do a good job, you go back to the bishops." I seen panic in his eyes. I'm happy to see each one of you here tonight. I'm especially happy to see the group from Collins. And maybe I better explain that, lest you think they need it more than you. I was sitting home one Sunday afternoon and enjoying the afternoon, and the phone rang. And Brother Bob Eddy asked my wife at least a dozen questions leading up to the fact that I wasn't there. And then I talked to our brother Allen. And then I received a third phone call from Apostle in Charge. And by that time, I just picked up the phone and said it was stupidity. I have a message tonight. And I'm going to give it a title. And that title is "All Things Are Possible with God." All things are possible with God. How many times have we heard the ministry say that? How many times have we, as we go about our lives, said the very same thing? I know all things are possible with God. In the 19th chapter of Matthew, Christ is telling his disciples about a rich man. And that rich man had obeyed all the commandments. That rich man had done everything that he thought that he should do to enter into the kingdom of God. But he asked Christ, "What more need I do?" And Christ tells him to give all he has to the poor and take up his cross and follow him. And you remember the story, the man couldn't do it. But then the disciples looking at Christ and thinking, my gosh, this man was a righteous man. Christ tells them that it was easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. The disciples ask him, who then can be saved? It looked like an impossibility to that. Anybody could be saved. Because those disciples looked at this through their human eyes. And Christ in the 26th verse says, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Do we in our humanness tonight believe that statement? Or do we limit God's power by our unbelief? Do we truly believe with all of our hearts, minds, and strengths that all things are truly possible with our Lord and Savior? We know God has power because we read in Genesis that He created everything that we see out here. We read in Genesis about Him creating the animals and the birds and the fish. The trees and the flowers. And above all, we read in Genesis where He creates you and I. He creates man and woman. We know He has the power to do that. We read and we see. We look in the Old Testament and we see the story of Noah and the ark. What an impossible job. To build a ship big enough to hold the animals of the kingdom. The Lord told him to build it 300 cubits long and 50 cubits wide and 30 cubits high and to have three stories. That in itself would scare me to death. How would I go about building an ark? Well, even if I figured out how to build that ark and I put it all together and I had it sitting there, I can just imagine me chasing the rabbits through the woods. An impossible thing with man. An impossible thing with man. Do you think Noah had ever seen a ship? Can you imagine in your minds the magnitude of the job of gathering in the animals and bringing them into the ark? Can you imagine that? It seems impossible. And yet it was accomplished through our Lord and Savior because all things are possible with God. There's another story that just happens to bring my mind. I didn't have it written down, but I'm going to tell you anyway. It's about in the Book of Mormon. It tells another man that had to build a boat. Nephi had to build that boat. And we're told in the Book of Mormon that he didn't know how to build a ship. He didn't have any tools. He didn't have any fire to make metal. But you know it says that he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord gave him these things. All things are possible with God. In the Book of Mormon, it also tells a story, and this is a little bit before that time. It tells the story of Nephi and his brothers trying to get the records of their people. And as you remember the story, they went and tried to buy those records and failed miserably. And they were discouraged. In fact, the brothers were so discouraged they took it out on Nephi. They whipped up on him. But an angel of the Lord appeared unto them. An angel of the Lord. And told them that they would deliver into their hands Laban. I'd like to read the Book of Mormon on page 10. Read through the 102nd verse. And after the angel had spoken unto us, he departed. He just got through telling them that he was going to deliver into their hands Laban. And after the angel had departed, Laman and Lemuel again began to murmur, saying, "How is it possible that the Lord will deliver Laban into our hands?" You see, in their humanness, they were questioning the angel. Just as I believe today that you and I question. Whenever things look a little bit hard to us, a little bit impossible, like we might have to put a little effort into it, we begin to murmur and question. It says, "How is it possible that the Lord will deliver Laban into our hands? Behold, he is a mighty man. He can command 50, yea, he can slay 50. Then why not us?" With each logical thought that they had, it looked more and more impossible. It appeared to them that they didn't have a chance in the world to get those records. "And it came to pass that I spake unto my brethren, saying, Let us go up again into Jerusalem, and let us be faithful in keeping the commandments of the Lord. For behold, he is mightier than all the earth. Then why not mightier than Laban and his 50? Yea, even than his tens of thousands." This is the type of attitude that you and I need today when we face the world. That it doesn't matter that the devil and his angels are arrayed against us. We have the power of Jesus Christ. We have the power of the gospel. "Therefore, let us go up, let us be strong like unto Moses, for he truly spake unto the waters of the Red Sea, and they divided hither and thither." Another impossibility, right? Who would ever imagine that you could walk up to a sea and say, "Depart," and then walk through on dry ground? Dry ground, it said. "And our fathers came through out of captivity on dry ground, and the armies of the Pharaoh did follow were drowned in the waters of the Red Sea. Now behold, ye know that this is true, and ye also know that an angel has spoken unto you. Wherefore can ye doubt? Let us go up. The Lord is able to deliver us, even as our fathers, and destroy Laban, even as the Egyptians." And you all know the end of the story. You all know that the Lord delivered Laban into the hands of Nephi and then commanded him that he should slay him. It looked like an impossibility to the brothers. It looked like a job that was not able to be accomplished. But Nephi was able to accomplish that because all things are possible with God. I'd like to turn over to Acts. I'm going to read out of the third chapter of Acts, verses 1 through 8. I'll try to keep brief tonight because we've been here a long time today, and I know we're running late. Isn't it amazing? Every time that statement is made, they go over. Every time. I keep track. Now, Peter and John went up together into the temple at an hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." And he gave heed to them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have I give thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." This man had lain from birth, crippled. An impossible thing to do to raise him up. It seemed impossible to men. But let's go on. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he leaped and stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. An impossibility. And yet this man standing and leaping and walking, because all things are truly possible with God. There was another man in the Bible, a man called Saul, who the Bible says went around through the countryside persecuting the saints. Now, as I read that account, I think of Saul as a bad man. A man really convicted and convinced of the rightness of his actions. A man who seems to me set in his ways, impossible to change. And yet, you know the story as well as I. I'll not tell you anything new tonight. I'll not give you anything that you really don't already know. But I want to call your remembrance to some of these stories. That Saul, even though he was persecuting the saints, our Heavenly Father saw into his heart and saw that he was a good man, a man that could be molded and changed and brought under the leadership of our Heavenly Father. And so he struck him down and he changed him. And Saul turned to Paul, who became a valiant soldier in the fight for righteousness in this gospel. An impossibility? Man can be changed, you know. All things are possible with God. In the Book of Mormon, it tells of a people who would not take up arms to defend themselves, even though they were persecuted, even though they were slapped and provoked, they would not defend themselves. Now, brothers and sisters, I'm a minister of God. But I don't know how much of that I could take. I don't know if I could not defend myself. It would be maybe impossible to me. And I looked at this and I read that story and I said, that's impossible that they don't fight back, that they don't raise up a sword and defend themselves. And yet all things are possible with God. Over in the Book of Mormon on page 405, verse 31 through 35, it says, "And they were also distinguished." And it's talking about these people called Anti-Nephi-Lehi. "And they were also distinguished for their zeal towards God and also towards men. For they were perfectly honest and upright in all things, and they were firm in the faith of Christ, even to the end. And they did look upon the shedding of blood of their brethren with the greatest abhorrence, and they never could be prevailed upon to take up arms against their brethren." That seems impossible to me. "And they never did look upon death with any degree of terror. For their hope and the views of Christ and the resurrection, therefore death was swallowed up to them by the victory of Christ over it." Why was it possible with them? Because they had that zeal of God. They had that love of God within their hearts. Coming on down through time, I think of a young man in the early 1800s. A mere lad searching for truth. And had the audacity to tell the ministers of the day that God had talked to him. And you've read the history. You know they said that's impossible. God doesn't talk to us now. But Joseph Smith had that love of God. He had that zeal towards God. He had that desire towards God. And God did truly speak to him. Impossible? No. All things are possible through Christ. And when he brought forth the Book of Mormon, people thought it was impossible that an unlearned, uneducated man could bring forth such a book as this. But you know what they didn't know? You know what they didn't understand? That it was God that brought forth this book. It was God who brought this into being. It was God who translated this book through Joseph Smith. All things are possible with God. No matter how dark it seems, no matter how impossible it seems, no matter how big the mountain is, all things are possible. I hope my wife will forgive me for telling this story. She just turned green. A couple of years back, I have a truck, black truck, nice one, nice black truck. The only thing about a couple of years ago, it just stopped dead. It would just quit. And me being the mechanic that I am, thought that I knew how to fix it. And it broke down at the most inopportune time. We had decided to take a camping trip down to South Missouri. And we had got the trailer hooked up and we had taken off. We got one block away from home and the thing quit. Finally got the truck and the trailer back home by the help of my brother-in-law. Decided to stay home. And in the night, I got so sick. You know, it was one of those times where you thought you was going to die on one hand and afraid you weren't on the other. And the next morning, I woke up and I was still sick. And Carolyn went off about her business. She had some errands to do. And I decided in my sickness that I was going to fix that truck because I knew what was wrong with it. All I had to do was get it started and go up to the local auto store and buy the part, and I'd be all right. And come Monday morning, I'd be ready to go to work. Well, to digress a little bit, my wife is loving, supportive, takes care of my every need. But anyone that knows my wife knows that she says what she thinks. And when I'm wrong, she tells me. Well, I got to the auto store all right, and I was coming home, and bow, it died. I was sick. I was sicker then. Because I knew that when I had to call Carolyn, I was going to be in trouble. Well, I had to call her. And she come up there and proceeded to tell me how wrong I was, which I was. And I knew that that truck had better start. So I prayed to our Heavenly Father. And you know, that truck started. That truck probably saved my life. That truck started. It not only got me home, it got itself up to the car dealership where I had it fixed. And it died there and didn't start again. So I know the power of prayer. I know that that was impossible for man. I couldn't fix it. But through prayer, that truck started. Oh, it may sound like a little thing. And it was humorous. Not then. It was humorous afterwards. But it does show that all things are possible with Christ. You know, we say, why can't we have Zion? We say, why can't there be a temple belt upon the temple line? We say, why isn't there more miracles? We say, why don't we hear tongues like we used to hear? Why aren't the people gathered in to Zion? You know why? Because we think as a people it's impossible. We have programmed our minds to think it's impossible. And yet I've just shown you that all things are possible with God. All things are possible with God. I'd like to read in Matthew. I'm going to read Matthew, the 21st chapter, the 19th through the 22nd verses. And when he saw a fig tree in the way, he came to it, and found nothing thereon but leaves only, and said unto it, let no fruit grow on thee hence forever. And presently the fig tree withered away. And when the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, how soon is the fig tree withered away? Jesus answered and said unto them, verily I say unto you, if ye have faith, and doubt not, ye shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also if ye shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. Do you believe that? Do we believe that? Do we truly believe that all things are possible with God? And all things, whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. Believing. You have to believe it's true. So it's not impossible if you have faith, if you pray. And Mark 11:24 says, therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, ye shall have them. Oh, I'm going to tell you right now that faith and prayer isn't the only thing you need. There's more to it than faith and prayer. Are you ready? I'm going to read my favorite scripture. I think every one of you know what it is. The only one that uses it more than I do is Bick Brockman. Page 220 in the Book of Mormon, 13th verse says, believe in God. Well, that sounds like a very simple statement, but what power lies there? What power lies in that statement? Simple statement, three words, believe in God. Believe that He is and that He created all things, both in heaven and earth. Believe that He is all wisdom and all power, both in heaven and earth. Believe that man doth not comprehend all things which the Lord can comprehend. And again, believe that ye must repent of your sins and forsake them, and humble yourselves before God and ask in sincerity of heart that He would forgive you. And now, if you believe all these things, see that you do them. You have to have belief. You have to believe in God. And then I would like to turn over and read just a little bit. And you're all familiar with this verses, these verses too, in the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians. This is where it all hangs, brothers and sisters. This is that key that unlocks the door. This is that key that makes all things possible with God. This is that key that you must have in your pocket when you come before your Heavenly Father in prayer asking. This key. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, I'm nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. But whether they be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. And then the last verse. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity. And the Book of Mormon tells us that charity is the pure love of God. And that's the key that we must have in our pockets to open that door of possibility. One last little story before I close. Something that looked impossible to us. Something that, quite frankly, as it ballooned, as it grew, scared me to death. And that's our new church building. We, a few members. We, a few poor people, brought together enough funds to build a building. Impossible. With man it was. But through our Heavenly Father, it became a real, true, vibrant possibility. And we're going to see it completed. And why are we going to see it completed? And why was we able to do it? Because we had that key in our pocket. We had that pure love of Christ. I'm going to close with the, I'm not going to close. I'm going to use my last reading. Page 112. In the Book of Mormon, I'd like to read the 98th through the 104th verses. Come, my brethren, every one that thirsteth. Come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore, do not spend money for that which is of no worth, nor your labor for that which cannot satisfy. Hearken diligently unto me, and remember the words which I have spoken, and come unto the Holy One of Israel, and feast upon that which perisheth not, neither can be corrupted, and let your soul delight in fatness. Behold, my beloved brethren, remember the words of your God, pray unto him continually by day, and give thanks to his holy name by night. Let your hearts rejoice, and behold how great the covenants of the Lord, and how great his condescensions to the children of men. I'd like to close with a poem by Helen Steiner Rice, and it's entitled, We Can't, But God Can. Why things happen as they do, we do not always know. And we cannot always fathom why our spirits sink so low. We flounder in our dark distress, we are unwavering and unstable. But when we're most inadequate, the Lord God's always able. For though we are incapable, God's powerful and great. And there's no darkness of the mind that God can't penetrate. And all that is required of us whenever things go wrong is to trust in God implicitly with a faith that's deep and strong. And while he may not instantly unravel all our strands of the tangled thoughts that trouble us, he completely understands. And in his time, if we have faith, he will gradually restore the brightness of our spirit that we've been longing for. So remember, there's no cloud too dark for God's light to penetrate if we keep on believing and have faith enough to wait. Brothers and sisters, I love each one of you. Pray for me and I will pray for you. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Brother Fan, for an inspiring sermon this evening.